let you come and go as you pleased throughout the whole show, but you were still in this little area that was just crazy close to the stage. Everybody else had to line up behind, and it was, you know, your basic, you know, cattle call back there. So if you were, you know, if you're clued into this whole thing, you wanted in the pit. It was a big deal. But the bad thing about it was that the Springsteen organization didn't police it at all. Fans took it upon themselves to organize and do things as democratically as possible, where, you know, people would show up and you would have the number of your position in line written on your hand, and somebody, whoever was at the front of the line, kept tabs and had everybody's name written down, and it was very orderly and stuff, and it was great. And although at some point the same people, you know, I mean, Springsteen fans are freaks and they followed the whole tour, it got to the point where the same people were ending up at the front of the stage every night, night after night after night. And the story was that Bruce was getting a little sick of seeing the same faces night after night after night. And finally, at some point, I mean, this is, you know, months into the tour, I guess the Springsteen organization decided they should start policing this thing, doing something. And they came up with an idea where everybody that came to get in line would be given a number. And then when it was time to go into the building, they would draw a number, and whatever number they drew, that would be the first person to go in. And that's a fine thing. And nobody had any problems with it, except when they decided to initiate this this concept without anybody knowing about it. And meanwhile, people are lining up at, you know, 3 in the morning in the rain in Calgary. And then for no apparent reason at all, they decided to instigate this new rule, even though the line of people is the most docile, polite crowd imaginable. And at this particular show in Calgary, there wasn't even a big contingent of people following the tour. I mean, it was far enough north that anybody who was following the tour didn't bother coming up here. And it turned into a really ugly scene. And the guy who was running the line at some point, I mean, people were talking about him, talking to him all day long. And at one point, he did say he was going to honor the line. And then he changed his mind for no apparent reason. And at some point, he decided, okay, we're going to instigate this lottery system, which nobody there was particularly fond of. So, but the guy did it anyway. He drew a number. The number was like right in the middle. It was about 150. And he drew the number. So number 150 was supposed to be the first person to go in. So he went over to get number 150. And it was a young girl. And she said, "No, I'm not going in. This is wrong. You should be honoring the line. These people have lined up all day." And I was standing right there. I was like, I was number 19. Okay. And you could look at, I was looking right at the guy when this girl basically told this guy to, you know, F off. And you could hear it. You could probably hear it for blocks. Something in the guy's head just snapped. And he was holding this little basket of numbers. He just threw them on the ground and said, "Okay, number 300 is the person going in. We're going backwards. 300 is the first in. Number one, you're at the back." And of course, number 300, I mean, all those people were pretty happy. But it was an ugly, ugly scene. It turned into the most miserable night of my life. I was ready to burn my entire Springsteen collection at that point. I eventually got over it, although if I sit and think about it long enough, I still get pretty PO'd. But anyways, it turned into a kind of an ugly scene. And but the only great thing about it was watching this group of kids, and these kids were way up there too. They were like in number 50 or so. Like I said, I'd seen them in Fargo a few months earlier, and there was this amazing group. They were little kids. I mean, they ranged in age from, they were like, you know, 12 up to 20. And there was like 8 or so of them. And they were just, they were crazy jumping kids. They would jump up and down, and Bruce saw them from the stage and was playing to them all night long, both in Fargo and in Calgary. And you could just see the glee on his face watching these kids, and the kids were having the time of their life. And that was the best thing about the show, quite frankly. Anyhow, I got a hold of the kids. They were both in Calgary and Edmonton, and we actually called them on our right, on our egging show back in 2003. So we're going to listen to the conversation we had with them. But first, here's one more Winnipegger doing Bruce. This, do I have this queued up? I think I do. I do. Ramblin' Dan Frechette doing a very not often heard Springsteen song, but a great one. Ramblin' Dan doing My Beautiful Reward.
Hey, Winnipeg, this is Tanya Lamb from Trey's Chicas, and you're listening to All Bruce All the Time on the Twang Trust, CKUW 95.9 Winnipeg.
Welcome back to the Twang Trust here on CKUW 95.9, and I believe we have Michael on the line.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I am good.
So where are you calling from right now?
I'm in Lloydminster right now.
Wow, on the way home to Saskatoon?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Well, I should tell everybody that I saw Michael this past weekend out in Alberta, and I believe I saw him earlier in the summer, too, at a Bruce show in Fargo. That's where I first saw you guys.
Oh, you saw us in Fargo as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've been there for all along the way of your celebrity status.
Awesome.
You guys, in Fargo, there was this group of kids right down front who were hopping up and down all throughout the entire show, and Bruce got so buzzed by you guys, and at one point he pointed down and said, "This is for the kid in the Born to Run shirt," and he did "Night" off the Born to Run album. And who was the kid in the Born to Run shirt? Was that you?
No, that was actually my friend Doug.
Doug, okay. How many of you are actually in this little gang?
The entire group that was at the first two shows, anyway. The first show, there was actually 8 of us, and the second one, there was 6.
Wow.
Yeah, by the time we were in Edmonton, we were down to 4, though. Due to exams and stuff, they kind of fell at the wrong time, but...
But
we were able to make it for the second show there, yeah.
Yeah, and how, in as far as ages go, how do you guys range in age?
The oldest would be 20, and the youngest is my little brother. He's 17.
Who are the two kids right up front in Edmonton?
Edmonton, those were my little brothers, actually. I guess if you count them, they're 10 and 13.
Wow, yeah, they were a hoot to watch, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, they were going nuts, eh?
Yeah.
The 13-year-old brother actually got his harmonica that he played Thunder Road with in Edmonton.
Yeah, and he got drumsticks and stuff, all sorts of things, didn't they? They loaded them up pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, in Calgary, you guys actually got to meet Bruce, didn't you?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that. How'd that go down?
It was pretty unbelievable. I don't know, the whole show, we were just giving her, as usual, just really into it and enjoying the heck out of it. And Bruce recognized us the whole time, and he gave us plenty of points. And at one point during Waiting on a Sunny Day, he said one more time for the gentleman in the back and pointed to us, and we were just going nuts the whole time. And when he came out for the first encore, we could see him talking to one of his stage managers or something, and you could see him kind of point in our direction and hop up and down a little, like signaling, "Those kids there, they're jumping." And we kind of all saw this and, "Oh, he's talking about us. What's going to happen?" And as the guy came around to the pit, and he grabbed my friend who also had a Bruce shirt on, and he said, "Who are your friends?" And we all gathered around, and we were all freaking out, and he said, "When he starts dancing in the dark, meet us at the side, and you can come backstage." And it was pretty fuzzy after that. It was all kind of blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did he say to you when you got to meet him?
Well, we stood there, and the whole band kind of shot by, and they were pretty tired, obviously. They headed right off into the back. But Bruce came down last, and he walked right over to us, and we were all lined up. He shook each of our hands once. He went down the line and then came back and shook us all again. And, we were saying thank you and thanking him for the show and everything. And he thanked us. He said we gave him lots of energy, and he just really appreciated it and said we were awesome. And it's really kind of hard to remember exactly what was said, but he asked us where we were from. He first asked us if we were from Fargo, because he remembered us from that show.
Oh, did he? Cool.
Yeah, and we said, "No, we're from Saskatoon." And he questioned it. He said, "Seattle?" And we said, "No, Saskatoon." And he said, "Where's that?" And we had to say, "Saskatchewan. It's a province over from us here."
Where you never play.
Yeah, yeah. And, I don't know. I don't really remember what happened after that. And at one point I said, "We'll be in Edmonton tomorrow." And he said, "Oh, do you have any requests?" So a couple of my friends yelled out Rosalita. And it's a pretty far-fetched request, I thought. I mean, it'd be awesome if he played it, but I know they don't play it too often, and it's pretty hardcore song. So I screamed out Incident on 57th Street, and everyone kind of, "Oh, yeah." They said that, and he said he would see what he could do, and the next night in Edmonton, he played it for us.
Yeah, well, we got to thank you for that, because that was a great moment.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I've been waiting 20 years to hear that one. That was the first time I'd really heard it. I actually got to see it in North Carolina last year, but I was standing next to people who wouldn't shut up, so I could barely hear the stupid song. So,
yeah.
But heard it perfect in Edmonton, so
yeah.
Many thanks to you for that one.
Yeah, no, I'll never forget it.
Wow. Well, how about put one of your other gang on there, and we'll talk
all
to
right.
them for a bit.
Yeah, sure. It was good talking to you.
All right. Well, thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, no problem. I'll give you Doug here.
Okay.
Just a second. Hi there.
Hey, Doug.
Hi.
Welcome to the airwaves of Winnipeg.
Oh, thank you.
So yeah, I gotta say I've been a fan of yours for a while now, because for me the best thing about the two shows out in Alberta were you guys. I know. I guess if anybody who was, well, heck, you had to pretty much be there to know what was going on, but we all us. Guys up front in the line for the Calgary show kind of got screwed around that day.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, it was pretty.
We were in the 50s, and we got screwed around pretty too. But oh well.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, for me, I was number 19 for Pete's sake.
Wow.
And just to keep it short for anybody listening, the line that was supposed to get up front, you know, we were nice and orderly and pleasant and everything. And at the last time the head of Springsteen security kind of went a little crazy.
Of a power trip there.
Yeah, definitely. And he took number 300 in line as number one. So all the people up front kind of got screwed. And I mean, for me, I'm 40 years old. I don't need to be sweated on by a rock star. But I mean, I felt real bad for you guys. And there was like the number one person in the list was an 11-year-old girl, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, that was sad. She started crying. And I guess he let her in, but.
Yeah.
The rest of the people. And yeah, we got up and we made sure we were early and a day early, and we were number like 50s and that. And then, you know, all of a sudden we're in the 250s. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was really disappointing to me just from a, you know, an integrity standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, I was ready to burn my Springsteen records at that point. But, you know, when I was at the show, I mean, you guys were still having the time of your life at that show. And
exactly.
And that meant a lot to me, I think, just and talking to a lot of the other people there too, and but to see you guys having the time of your life still after being screwed around like that.
Yeah, well, we're just so happy to be there, and you know, Bruce is quite possibly the most amazing live rock and roll show player out there right now, and it's just hard not to give out that much energy when he's pouring it out into the audience like that. So.
Well, your little group of friends there. I mean, you're ranging in age. Heck. You want to count Mike's little brothers? They are 10 up to 20.
Yeah.
Now, what do your friends at school think of you being so into Springsteen?
it's pretty funny. Anytime Springsteen ever comes up, they're just sort of like, "Oh man, don't even go there, because Doug will just destroy you if you start talking bad about Springsteen." So.
What are they all into these days?
I don't know. It's a wide range. I mean, like the general people are into, like, you know, dance sort of music, just as long as it has a heavy beat. They don't really look beyond, you know, what makes them move.
Right.
Like, you know, we all enjoy Springsteen on so many levels, for like the composition of his music, the lyrics that he writes, everything. It's just so amazing.
So I mean, obviously he's not a big thing around school or anything. How did you actually get into him to begin with?
Well, yeah, it's all due to Michael McLaughlin, the guy that we were talking to earlier. His father was a big fan all throughout his life, and so Mike sort of grew up listening to Bruce, and a couple of years back sort of discovered his dad's CDs and tapes and that kind of thing, and started listening to them, and he became a very, very hardcore, dedicated fan. He bought himself copies of all the CDs and, like, started getting into bootlegs and that, and when he heard that the Rising Tour was starting, he kind of banded us together. He'd always, like, talk about Bruce and how great he was, and at first we were kind of skeptical because, you know, well, we were more into more modern stuff, like, I guess, Weezer's the other band that we're hardcore into, but, he'd just always talk about it, and then, like, he took us almost one by one and sat us down and forced us to watch the Live in New York DVD.
Right.
And literally every single one of us, after seeing how insane Bruce went on stage, we just gave him so much respect. And then pretty much as far as, like, the music itself went, he'd play us the Wild, the Innocent, the E Street Shuffle album. And, yeah, as soon as we all heard that album, it was, you know, written in stone. We were fans.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
So I guess you probably don't get to hear much Bruce on the radio out there, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of hard. We pretty much recently, like this past summer, was pretty good because Bruce released The Rising and his Lonesome Day singles and all those kind of things. And we hear the singles off and on, but pretty much nothing off of The Rising.
Right.
Like nothing outside of what he released from The Rising. So.
Yeah. Well, is there ever a song you've always dreamed of hearing on the radio that that you never have?
Oh, hard to say. Probably either The Wild, The Innocent, The E Street Shuffle, or Rosalita. Either of those two songs on the radio would just, yeah, it'd be great.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to, somewhere in my bag of tricks, I'm going to play an old bootleg version of the song we got to thank you guys for, Incident on 57th Street.
Right on.
I'm gonna play an old bootleg version of that one for you.
Cool.
But, yeah, so it was great talking to you. I'm going to let you go. I know you're on your way home, headed home to Saskatoon.
Yep.
But I just wanted to thank you guys again. I mean, it was just such a... I got so buzzed just watching you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Both nights and back in Fargo, too. It was definitely the best thing that happened, I think, of the whole shows. I mean, Edmonton was a great show.
We just came to enjoy the show, and it's kind of, like, astounding to us that all these people are, you know, recognizing us now.
Yeah.
We don't know, like, oh, you're the guys from Fargo.
That's right.
Yeah.
So have you actually named yourself or anything like that?
I don't know. We don't have any specific name. Like, coming from Saskatoon, there's not too many great adjectives that lead towards jumping and start with an S. So
yeah, it's kind of tough.
I'm kind of working on that one.
I know there used to be, like, way back in the late 70s, there was a group of guys in Cleveland that kind of got famous, and they were known just as the Cleveland Boys.
Yeah.
And whenever Bruce would play, he'd always say, oh, this one's for the Cleveland Boys. So it's kind of nice to know that the next generation is from Canada.
Yeah, for sure. And we're always trying to grab new people. I know we got one more person on that was sent in the last concert tour to come in, and we're always trying to grab more people in. So.
Well, cool. Okay, well, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us here.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, well, it was a treat. And, well, who knows? Who knows when he'll be back in these parts? We're actually sitting here right now at the side of the road waiting for the trucks to zoom by. And
awesome.
Our plan is to throw enough eggs at it and spell out Winnipeg Rocks on the side of the truck. And,
right on.
And maybe Bruce will see it when he gets to Ottawa and let him know how disgruntled we are.
Yeah,
but
we're all hoping for the next concert tour.
Yeah, we'll see you there, I'm sure.
Right on.
Okay, well, take care, Doug, and say the same to all your buddies there.
For sure.
Okay, take care.
Spanish Johnny drove in from the underworld last night with bruised arms and broken rhythm in a beat-up old Buick, but dressed just like dynamite. He tried selling his heart to the hard girls over on Easy Street. But they sighed, oh Johnny, it falls apart so easy. And you know hearts these days are cheap. And the pimps swung their axes and said, Johnny, you cheat. And the pimps swung their axes and said, Johnny, you're a liar. And from out of the shadows came a young girl's voice, said, Johnny, don't cry. And Johnny sighed, out of town, where paradise ain't so crowded, there'll be action going down on Shanty Lane tonight. All them golden heel flares in a real bitch fight. Pull 38s and kiss the girls goodnight. And Johnny sighed, good night. It's all right, I'll let the black boys in to light the souffle. We may find it out on the street tonight, baby. Or we may walk till the morning. Well, like a cool Romeo, he made his move. Oh, she looked so fine. And like a late Juliet, she knew it'd never be true, but she did not really mind. Upstairs, the band was playing, and the singer was singing something about going home. And she whispered, Spanish Johnny, you can leave me tonight, but just don't leave me alone. And Johnny sighed, Puerto Rican dream. Word is down, the cops have found the little barefoot boys. They left their homes for the woods. Them little barefoot street boys, they say homes ain't no good. They left the corners and they threw away all their switchblade knives and kissed each other bye-bye. And now Johnny sat on the fire escape, watching the kids playing down in the street. And he called down the Hey Little Heroes on Summer's Lawn. But I guess it ain't so sweet around here no more. Janie sleeps in sheets damp with sweat. Johnny sits up all night and watches her dreaming on. And his sister breaks down in the chapel late at night, after everybody is gone. But Janie wakes up and moves over to share a pillow, but she sees Johnny up and out of bed and putting his clothes on. And she says, them romantic young boys, all they ever wanted was fight. Well, them romantic young boys. And they call in the window, hey, Spanish Johnny, you want to make a little easy money tonight. And Johnny whispers good night. It's all tight, Jay. I swear I'll meet you tomorrow night on Lover's Lane. I may find it out on the street tonight, baby. Oh, we may walk, run till the morning light, maybe.
Sparks fly on E Street when the boy prophets walking handsome and hot. All the little girls' souls go weak when the man child gives them a double shot. And schoolboy pops pull out all the stops on a Friday. Yes.
Hi, this is Ron Sexsmith, and you're listening to All Bruce All the Time on the Twang Trust, CKUW 95.9 FM.
Those of you that have heard my show know that it's basically Stu's show a couple of days later. Basically, I do Stu. And, yeah, it's basically, they call me Stu Jr. Because I'm so much younger than him. But a while ago, Stu had this guy write a theme song for him where I don't even really know much about the guy, but it's a very entertaining thing. And our good buddy Ron decided that it just wasn't right that I didn't have my own theme song.
You're hurting, man. The next night on Thursday night, you were hurting, man.
That's right.
Sunday, you were hurting worse.
So Ron took up the challenge. He lifted this cross for me, and he's written a song. He's been practicing it his heart out, and he's here to unveil it for us tonight. Please, my friends, welcome Ron from Lockport.
Get Ron.
He was hurting bad. So the song is called simply Jeff Robson brings Bruce Springsteen to Winnipeg. Hey Jeff Robson, he's our boy. Radio's his toy. He brings us joy. Jeff Robson, he's our boy. Jeff Robson. He'll play Bob Dylan. Or that rap, crap, hip-hop slot. But twice a week, like clockwork, he plays the musical roots that rock. Yep, he's Jeff Robson, our old pal Jeff Robson. Stands taller than old Stu Reed, or the world's tallest man. Taller than that guy, the lead singer in the Flying Fox Band. Man, hey, Jeff Robson, tall in the south. Saddle Jeff Robson. He tells the band just go home in a free range radio truck. They say he rode to Gimli with a bike stuck up his butt. Now he's sore in the saddle, Jeff Robson. Mighty sore in the saddle, Jeff Robson. Well, Springsteen won't play Winnipeg, and that's a doggone shame that you and I listeners all know exactly who's to blame. Yeah, Jeff Robson, our old pal Jeff Robson, always pissing people off. Jeff Robson, saying stuff to make people mad. Jeff Robson, ruining the name of Winnipeg. Jeff Robson. Well,
serious song, folks.
The tone is kind of changing.
Well, Jeff said something to make Bruce mad, and the boss, you don't forget. Hey, Jeff, call him up, apologize. Get down on your knees and beg. Bring the boss to Winnipeg. Hey, Jeff Robson, bringing the boss to Winnipeg. Hey, Jeff Robson, he's bringing the boss to... Folks, did you hear? Jeff Robson's footing the bill, and he's bringing the boss to Winnipeg.
You're welcome.
Okay, mighty fine guy, Jeff Robson. Not even Stu Reed could do that. Jeff Robson. Okay, except for one thing. He's so damn disorganized, much like the words in this last verse. But somehow his shows still sound okay. Okay. I guess it could sound worse. Hey, Jeff Robson. Robson, sounding good enough for me, Jeff Robson. Too good for the CBC, Jeff Robson. Bruce Springsteen playing the Sunset Saloon. Bruce Springsteen coming here soon. Bruce Springsteen, it'll only cost you 20 loons. Jeff Robson, I'm a pal, Jeff Robson. Okay, that's the end of the song, but I gotta get everybody singing the praises to Jeff Robson. We all gotta sing. Jeff Robson, our old pal Jeff Robson. Come on, with feeling. Jeff Robson, our old pal Jeff Robson. One more time, Jeff Robson.
Hey, Winnipeg, this is Jim White, and you're listening to All Bruce All the Time on Twang Trust, CKUW, 95.9 FM.
Well, welcome back to the Twang Trust here on 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, CKUW. And we're back on the street. It's just a matter of minutes, folks, before those trucks come rolling through. We're getting our eggs ready. Got your eggs ready, guys? Oh, we're ready. We're ready for them. And, well, we got time for a couple more tunes, I think.
I'll try a Springsteen song here.
I met a little girl, and I'd settled down somewhere out on the edge of town. We got married, we swore we'd never part, and little by little we drifted from each other. I'm driving a stolen car down on Eldridge Avenue. Each night I wait to get caught, but I never do. I'm driving a stolen car on a pitch black night, and I'm telling myself I'm gonna be alright.
It's a little bit of an abridged version.
Just keep getting clearer. gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, I'm just about starving tonight. I'm looking for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a little reaction. Come on, baby, give me just one. You can't start a fire. Sitting around here crying over a broken heart. This gun's for hire.
We'll be right back.
From small things, indeed, big things come, and there's a big old truck. It's, apparently, it's going to be in sight in mere seconds. That was Dave Edmonds, by the way, doing a Bruce Springsteen song from Small Things, Mama, Big Things, One Day Come, from the DE7th album. Yes, sirree. But, yeah, we are here, at the side of the road here, waiting for Bruce's truck, and, oh, man, hey. You guys see what I see? I think they're coming. Yep, that's it. It's almost here. There's three of them. I don't know that we're gonna be able to get all three of them. But the plan, you guys, now remember, the plan is to spell out Winnipeg Rocks in eggs on the side of the first one. And, yeah, and, well, gee whiz, it's getting closer. It's almost here. Ready, aim, let it go. Oh, you got one right through the window. Good shot. Oh, that thing's filthy. Man, what's Bruce going to say when he sees that? Ah, a few more. Oh, that truck driver's looking a little mean. We might have to duck into our bunker here, I think. Yeah, well, okay. Winnipeg Rock, okay. The S. Get that S happening. Okay, and, okay, just somebody dot the I and we're done. All right, the I's are dotted. That's going to do it. That's grotesque. Yep, that's what you get, Bruce. That's what you get for skipping Winnipeg. Yeah, drive off, you wimps. They're leaving without even getting out of the truck. Huh. Well, fine. Well, that's it. That was the egging, kids. And we're going to leave you here, I think, with one more piece of Bruce-ness. And we'll be back next week, same time, same channel. CKW 95.9 FM, the Twang Trust. And, hey, it was all in fun. Lighten up. Here's Land of Hope and Dreams.
Well, that turned into a technical nightmare there at the end, didn't it? But still, it was kind of fun, huh? And it probably serves us right. Ay, ay, ay. Well, that was the 10th anniversary of the egging, kids. Could have gone better, but what the heck. And like I say, we're going to fix that in editing and upload it to twangtrust.ca. So come back and look at it in a day or so, and you can listen to it the way it was intended to be listened to. But anyhow, that's it. Time to rock you. Jay's going to rock you momentarily here on CKUW. This Saturday is Record Store Day, the happiest day of the year. Hopefully I'll see you somewhere. There's live music and fun stuff going on at McNally Robinson. Scott Nolan's playing at noon. There's stuff going on at Into the Music all day. There's stuff going on at the Folk Fest Music Store. The Driving Wheels playing in the afternoon. Going to be a lot of fun everywhere. So we'll see you out there somewhere, I hope. No Bruce releases this year on Record Store Day. What are you going to do? But we'll be back next week for what we hope will be a flawless show. I don't know that that's going to happen, but yeah. Stay tuned and find out. Anyhow, thanks for sticking around for the 10th anniversary of the egging. It was a blast. And we'll the 25th anniversary will go much smoother. I promise. See you next week, kids.